the spot that song is. It makes you think, doesn't it? Well, we're going to give the choir a little break. We're going to sing one song tonight. They just sang it. So we're going to give them now a chance to go down. So let's go ahead and have our handshaking time. And we'll sing a song, a hymn here in just a few minutes.
Thank you so much, choir. Thank you for being back in the service tonight. Good to have Brother Matt's dad back with us tonight. Stayed here with his son for Father's Day. So glad he's able to be back. And, of course, Miss Wass is still here. We're glad to have her still here with us. And I appreciate her sitting on the front row. You know, that's kind of unusual. Most folks run for the back row. I think one Sunday I'm going to move the pulpit to the back row and scare everybody to death. And then everybody moved to the front row. Amen. But I'm glad you're here tonight. We're going to have fellowship afterwards in honor of our dads. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together. 266 as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right. I belong to the King. 266. Let's sing all three stanzas. Beautiful song here. Sing out now.
I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, I shall dwell in His palace so fair. For He tells of His bliss in yon heaven above, and His children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to the King, and He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness so free are unceasingly mine wheresoever I go, and my refuge unfailing is He. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to His palace above.
Blessing all the service. Brother Rick Richardson, you pray for us, please, if you would. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for it. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. All right. Again, thank you for being here. We got fellowship after the service. Hope everybody will stay. I think we got room for everybody. I think we got about 42 or 43 here tonight, so I think we got room for everyone. If not, we can stand. We'll find a place, but I think it looks like we've got plenty of food back there. So we want everybody to stay after the service and let's fellowship together. A couple of things I'll mention. Brother Sonny Branham, continue to pray for him. Brother Steve Morris is having his cancer surgery in July. They're in the Holy Land. They're in Israel right now. They've been sending pictures to us where they've been. Sometime today, we're at the Dead Sea. And they were floating in the Dead Sea. You know, you get on it and float on top of that Dead Sea easy because all the minerals in it. And they've been to Caesarea, been all kinds of places where Jesus had been. And in fact, now, somebody asked me if this is, I don't see anything wrong with it, but when they got to the Jordan River, they have a place where you can be baptized again. I mean, not for any particular spiritual reason other than just being baptized in the Jordan. And so I know that Debbie Morris, I don't know if Steve did or not, I guess he did, I guess all of them did. You can go down there and they have a place fixed there where you can be baptized or baptize yourself. I'm not even sure how that works. Of course, you know, if you've been baptized after you're saved, that's good enough. But, you know, some people, you know, I don't know, maybe if I'd do it if I was over there, just being in the Jordan River where Jesus was, John the Baptist was, seeing some of those places. And so they're going to be there, I guess, another week or so. And then to be coming back in, and by then they'll be getting ready for his cancer surgery there in Tucson. So pray for Brother Steve. Pray for the Wright family, Miss Candy's mother, Brother Melvin's brother Edward, the Smith family. We mentioned about Mr. Dave Smith's sister dying this week. Please remember them in prayer if you would. And many other folks we need to be praying for. Brother Shelton's here, but he's sick. And he walked, I guess, went out to the car. And I noticed he just didn't look very good. And so he's kind of out there roaming a little bit. He's not feeling well. So you pray for him if you would, okay? Hope he'll feel all right. All right. So come on, Brian. You got any announcement, anything? You know about this week, Wednesday night prayer meeting, of course, at 7 o'clock. Let's be right here in our place. And then next weekend, of course, is church time. And we've got some other things that will be coming up pretty soon that we'll let you know more about as it gets closer to it, okay? All right, Brother Tim, let's have another song.
453, we've sung this a time or two, but let's stand and sing the old-fashioned way. 453. Sing out now.
They call me old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word, that Jesus who lived among men long ago is divine and the Christ of God. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
How many of you are hearing this for the first time? Okay. You know, Brother Steve has sung it as a solo a couple times, so I know most of you have heard it before. It's a great song, and we've actually sung it as a congregational song. Listen to the words. Let's do the second verse.
old fashioned, because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from heaven. Old fashioned, because at the cross I was saved, at the cross had my sins forgiven. My sin was old fashioned, my guilt was old fashioned, God's love was old fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old fashioned, because I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord. Because I believe He is coming again, fulfilling His holy word. My sin was old fashioned, my guilt was old fashioned, God's love was old fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Good singing. You can be seated.
Amen. I know you folks remember Steve singing this because he said, my sins were old. Is that right, Brother Steve? I love to hear Brother Steve sing that. That's a great, listen, that is a great song. If you look at those words, that's a great song. And I'm glad for the old-fashioned way, aren't you? Some things are good new, but some things are just better old-fashioned. I went somewhere not long ago, I think it was in New York, actually, and had a root beer float. Man, now you can have them slushies and creamies and all kinds of ways, and I'm sure they're good, but it's nothing like just a regular old-fashioned root beer float. Amen. With vanilla ice cream in it. And so some things are just good the old-fashioned way. So I appreciate that great song. All right, ushers, come on. Let's take care of the offering this evening, and then we'll have our special. All right. Go ahead and get the plates up, and we'll get this offering taken. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy is to be back at the house of the Lord. And I'm thankful for the privilege, Lord. I'm thankful for Anchor Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the folks that make it up. Lord, I pray tonight as we meet together, study the Word of God, that You'll help us, Lord. Thank You for the visitors being here. Brother Matt's dad being here. We're so glad that he's able to be here. Of course, Ms. Wass, we so love Ms. Wass. And we pray that You'll bless these folks for coming. And then, Lord, for all of our folks, those that could not be here tonight, You know the reasons. And God, You know every detail behind every reason. And so we're just leaving it in Your hands. But God, we do pray for those that are here that they'll be fed by the Spirit of God. Bless the offering now, the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Steve and Jake challenge each other in a race on that song sometime. Thank you for that, guys. Well, Bethany is coming to sing. Sorry, Bethany. Bethany is coming to sing for us right before Pastor comes.
Sometimes the little girl in me still wants to climb on my father's knee. When the world outside gets too big for me, when the fear's too much for me to hide, and my fondest dreams have almost died, He always understands me when I say, hold me, hold me, I'm so afraid of the
that. Now get your Bibles ready to listen as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brian Bethany, for that good song. And I'm glad we've got God to hold on to us when we need to be held. And I don't know about you, but it seems sometimes like the older I get, the more I need to be held by Him. You know, we think about children being held by their parents as they get older, and they don't want that, you know. They get old, especially boys, you know, they don't want hug and kiss, you know. They won't shake hands or say hey. But I'll tell you, I'll be 59 years old, and when it comes to the Lord, the more He wants to hold me, the better I like it. I appreciate the fact that I could come to Him anytime. Romans chapter 15, we're going to finish out the chapter tonight. Then we'll have one more chapter in the book of Romans. Then I've been in the last few days in my Bible time reading the book of Galatians. What a great book that is. And so I think, unless the Lord changes my mind, the next book we're going to study is the book of Galatians. And I've read it through three times now. There's six chapters. It's not that long. It shouldn't take that long, really. Of course, with me, you know it might, but because I like to touch on everything. But there's some really good truths in the book of Galatians. Sometimes people think because it's another Pauline epistle that Paul is basically saying the same thing over and over again. He's not. There may be some doctrinal things that are the same because of the crowd he's preaching to. But there's always something fresh and good in those books of the Bible. And so, Lord willing, we'll be starting in the book of Galatians probably in another couple of weeks. And we'll let everybody know when that time comes. Of course, we've got to finish Romans first. Romans chapter 15. We told you that this chapter deals with the Christian's labors. How do we labor for the Lord? What type of ministry are we to put ourselves and involve ourselves in? The first one in verses 8 through 13. We talked about Christ's ministry to the Jew and the Gentile. We already know how that Jesus came unto His own. His own received Him not. In verse 8, He said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." That's the Jews. That's the Jewish folks. And so, Jesus came to the Jew. Now, He was not, and He still is not, ever going to deny a Gentile from being saved. As He dealt with the circumcision, whenever the opportunity might have arose, and it wasn't that often, but it did happen occasionally, that Jesus would deal with someone who was not of the circumcision. And I'm glad that He saves, as the Bible said, whosoever will. Amen? Aren't you glad that He saves whosoever will? Not whosoever He wants to, but whosoever will. And I'm glad for that tonight. And we noticed the pattern of progress in the Gentiles, how that they now, we are part of this great global ministry of the gospel. Talked about Gentiles hearing the word of God in verse 9, and Gentiles rejoicing with the Jews, the Gentiles praising God on their own. Didn't need the Jews to direct them how to praise God anymore. We don't need anyone to tell us how. We just do it because we know the Lord. And then, of course, the Gentiles trusting Christ and will enjoy His reign in verse number 12. Now, let's go down, if we can, to verse 14. And let's notice, second of all, Paul's ministry. We saw Christ's ministry to the Jews and the Gentiles. Now we look in verses 14 through 23, a good portion of the chapter tonight, on Paul's ministry to the Jew and the Gentile. Notice, if you would, verse number 14, the Bible said, "And I myself," Paul saying, "also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So here we have, of course, Paul introducing the special ministries of the people of the church, whether they were Jew or Gentile. Paul is now teaching this combined group of folks. You know, every church is combined of different folks and different characters and different personalities and so on. Paul is really teaching them how to work together. And that's important in the house of God, that the church works together. Notice it says in verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." That was Paul's ministry. Paul was saved and Paul was called into the ministry to preach to the Gentiles. And you know that he did. He went all over the known world preaching to the Gentiles. And now notice, if you would, there in verse 16, notice he said that he was the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What we find here in verse 16 is Paul's special message. The fact that now the Gentiles can be and are included in the salvation plan. You know, the Jews, even at this point in the early church, still had trouble with this mixing of Jew and Gentile. And they were still having some difficulty sort of overcoming the speed bump, if you will, of circumcision, of the law. And the fact that the law is no longer in their control. The law's good. The Bible tells us back in Galatians, where I was reading, it talks about where Paul told the church at Galatia that the law was good for edifying. It's good. Nothing wrong with the law. I'm a child of grace. Amen? I'm saved by grace. I'm not saved by the law. I'm a Gentile. I'm saved by grace through faith. Now, I know that the law has no control over me. In that it cannot justify me. That was the problem with the Jews. They were thinking that, of course, keeping the law would bring them justification. But the Bible said the just shall live by faith, not by the law. So I'm not saved and I'm not living by the law. But the law is still good. Nothing wrong. The law is in the Word of God. God gave the law. In fact, if you could keep the law, you would go to heaven. Hear me? If you could keep the law, let me say it this way, if you could keep all of the law, you could go to heaven. That's right. Wait a minute, preacher. I thought you said we're not saved by the law. We're not. But when God gave the law, there was no salvation yet. The gospel had not been introduced. The law was given, Paul later says, to be our schoolmaster, to teach us that we cannot be justified by the law. But Jesus kept the law, didn't he? Now, Jesus didn't need to get saved. He was the Son of God. But He's the only one that could keep every iota of the law. Now, we can't. And so now we're at this. Here comes this group of people. This group of people that the Jews hated. And they were taught from the time they were children to hate the heathen, the Gentile. now they're being not only saved and entering into the family of God, but now they're even getting into the church. Can you imagine that? Boy, those Jews there for a while, it really created an uproar. And the problem was that those newly saved Jews were certainly understanding that a Gentile saved is a brother, sister in Christ. But then here comes those false teachers right in behind them and letting them know, telling them that you got to be circumcised to be saved. If you're going to be a child of Abraham, then you got to be circumcised. Paul said, if you're saved, you're a child of Abraham. Doesn't say anything about circumcision. And so here we find this message, this special message that the Lord gives. Notice verse 17. He said, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Makes no difference who you are, where you are, where you came from, or what you have or don't have. Everything you have is because of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, and so I have these things. He said, I want to glory in Jesus Christ through those things which pertain to God. Now notice verse 18 and 19. Here, Paul mentions some special miracles. Notice he said in verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, but make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. In other words, Paul is saying these folks are saved just like we are. They have to be obedient to the word of God just like you do. I mean, the message is not different. The message is not one thing to the Jew and another thing to the Gentile. The message is the same. When folks come in to visit, they may not have, we knocked on doors yesterday, and that we had an odd number, so I was knocking on doors by myself at one end of the place where we were yesterday in Rose Creek. And I knocked on a door, and a lady came to the door, and I told her who I was. I said, as I invite people to church and tell them about Jesus. And she said, oh, I know about Jesus. I go to the Church of Christ. I said, well, that's great. I do too. She kind of looked at me funny. I said, but I'm sure not the same one you're talking about. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I go to the Church of Christ because Jesus Christ saved me and I'm part of the Church of God. And she said, well, and Church of Christ believes that baptism is essential to your salvation. And I said, ma'am, you know you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, yes, I've been baptized. I said, ma'am, I want to tell you that's not the way to do it. She said, well, I've heard that all my life. And her sister was standing in the doorway behind her kind of listening. And she said, I've heard that all my life. I said, ma'am. I said, not according to the word of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. She said, you know, I've heard somebody mention that before. And, well, make a long story short, it kind of petered off after that. It didn't go very far. One thing happened. I told my family, their house was for sale. I said, I see your house is for sale. She said, you want to see it? It's a big old pink house. It had a turret on it. Looked like one of those old English homes. He said, you want to see it? I said, yes, ma'am. Probably shouldn't have done that. I don't know. I was walking in there to a stranger's house. She showed me all of that. They're moving in 6 weeks. We're moving to Florida. Got their house up for sale. Showed it to me. I said, well, I'll let people know that it's for sale. You know. And I went out the door. Well, here's the thing. What I'm trying to say here is that I talked to them folks. Some of the words that we used with one another were the same. The problem is they don't mean the same. Just don't mean the same. There are some religions and denominations that use the same words we use, but when applied from the gospel, they don't mean the same thing. They have a different means by which to get there and get to that word. Friend, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice he said, this next verse is great, verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders. Now that got the ear of the Jewish folks in that church, because many of them had either seen and or heard about Jesus doing miracles. Heard about Paul doing miracles. Heard about Peter and James and John and all the disciples doing miracles. Remember, miracles were prevalent in those days because there was no written Bible. Now, the Old Testament was certainly available, but the New Testament was not. And so in order for God, Jesus used those miracles in the Gospels to teach and to convince those Jews that what he was telling them was right. There were a couple of occasions where people saw him do miracles and said, surely he must be of God to be able to have the power to do the miracles in which he's doing. That was the purpose. The only problem was They weren't saying that he was God. They were just saying he must be of God. So Paul had the opportunity in the Gentile world to do some miracles. We touched on it, as a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, where he was in that shipwreck, and God said nobody would lose their life, and he told them that, and that's what happened. But when he got on shore, he got snake bit. And everybody thought the barbarians, the Gentiles on that island, thought that because he got snake bit, that he was being punished for some crime he had done, so he was going to die. And Paul just shook it off. Just shook it off, and it went in the fire. And he didn't get sick. His arm didn't even swell. Then they changed their tune. You know what they thought then? He was God. Or a God. And boy, that just opened the door for Paul. Now listen, that, believe it or not, folks, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And Paul was able to do other miracles at other times. And so the point here, notice he said that the wonders and signs by the power of the Spirit of God. Now somebody asked, preacher, does God still do miracles today? Yes, he does. Does he do them in the same fashion that he did in Bible times? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Because it's not about the show. And when I say show, I mean the open viewing of a miracle. I know people who have been cured of cancer. I know people who went in, the doctor said, you got it. We were prayed over and prayed for them. And then go back a little while later, the doctor said, I can't find it. Now, that doesn't mean that we brought them up and, you know, gave them a prayer cloth, you know, and anointed it with oil and laid it on them and said, now you're healed. That's not what we did. What did we do? We went to the great physician. We prayed for God to do a miracle. You know, there have been times we've done that same thing and God didn't do it. Didn't do it. That doesn't mean that God didn't hear. It doesn't mean that God couldn't. It simply means that in the life of that individual, that infirmity, just like Paul, remember, if anybody deserved a miracle from God, it was Paul. And yet he said, I prayed 3 times for God to remove this infirmity in my flesh. Finally, God said for the last time, I'm not going to do it, Paul, but what I am going to do is let you know that my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so sometimes God operates that way, but he did do many miracles in the lives of these people in order to get them to understand. Notice it says, from Jerusalem, round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached. Now notice he's changed his gear here. He went from miracles, mighty signs and wonders, to preaching the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, listen, when he got their attention, he was able to tell them what they need to know. They saw that miracle and said, man, you remember what the people said about Jesus on the seashore when he calmed the sea? And they said, what manner of man is this? Boy, they noticed, didn't they? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his will? And the next thing you know, he's on the shore preaching to that multitude. He got their attention. And listen, we don't want to put so much stock in what is done as much as what is preached. Amen. Understand me? You know where I'm coming from? Sometimes we think that we got to do a lot of things. And listen, doing for God is what we should do. That's our responsibility. But don't assume that because you did it, that somehow God is going to intercede. He may not. I talked to, I don't know how many people, the first half of my visits were my first half were pretty good. I think Steve said his kind of dry. You know, you go out and knock on doors and you might knock on 30 doors and nobody answered the door. I had several dogs barking. And I heard locks locking, you know, so I know they were in there. They'd open the door. But the first half I had several good visits. Nobody got saved. You know what the devil said? Why bother? It was hot. Lord have mercy, it was hot. And we try to be polite, so we don't walk on people's lawns and grass. We walk a long ways around to get to them doors. And the devil said, why in the world are you doing this? I'm telling you, there's going to come a day when somebody comes to God. God's going to bless the whole effort. That one that comes to Jesus. Gave out a lot of tracts. Who knows? By the way, somebody might get saved we don't even know about. Maybe we'll never know about. We'll know it when we get to heaven. Amen? And so it's important that once we show them the power of God, then we need to preach to them the gospel of God. That's the important part. Then look down at verse number 20. Here we have this special method by which Paul dealt with both Jew and Gentile. Notice he said verse 20, he said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. In other words, he said, I've gone places where nobody else has been. Because you remember in the days of Jesus, you remember when John was in prison? And the Bible said that before, 6 months before Jesus came on the scene, John was preaching and had a ministry. And the Bible said that John had disciples, followers. Well, after Jesus came, of course, John, being right, said, here's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they believed in Christ, but they still followed John because they had some loyalty to John. He was their preacher. He was the man that won them to God, and so they wanted to stay with him. Why not? How many times did Jesus do a miracle? The first thing the person said was, I want to go with you. Well, I would too. But he'd say, no, I don't want you to go with me. He said, don't, a lot of times he said, don't even say anything. Well, that's, you know, I wonder if he told them that to see if they really wouldn't, you know? Because every time I read where he said, don't say anything, that's the first thing they did was run and tell it. How could you not? And so Paul here said about the way he dealt with these folks, he said, I went where nobody was. He said, I went and preached the gospel there, but I didn't want to build upon another man's foundation. Remember at one time they said Paul, some were of Paul and some were of Apollos. Paul said, we don't want to do that. That sure, some follow me because I've been places where Apollos hasn't been. Some follow Apollos because he's been places where I haven't been. He said, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen? God that gives the increase. And so that's a labor of ours. And Paul showed us that ministry there in verse 21 and 22. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He said, I'd like to come and see you folks and report and go on furlough. He said, but everywhere I go, man, I run across folks can't wait to hear the gospel message. I really sometimes envy some of our missionaries. Brother Chris Murray wrote a book about his time on the mission field, and I've started reading it. He sent it to me the other day. Junior read just a little bit of it, but I started reading it. And it talks about the ministry there in the Philippines and how he got started and how he and his wife got started, met in college and Bible college and, you know, got on the mission field. And how those people just clamored, I mean clamored, for the Word of God. I mean, you know how it is around here. It's hard for people even to open the door and say, what do you want? I mean, they want hard to talk to you. As soon as they, you know, they look out the peephole, they see one or two fellas standing there. I think what's good for us, Brother Steve, is we wear our little polo shirts that say Anchor Baptist Church on it, so we don't look like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. So they open the door sometime. You know, and then I'll say, I'm with Anchor Baptist Church. You can tell by the look on their face. They said, I hate I opened the door. The door's already open, so now I'm going to tell them a little something. And that's all right. I'm glad to do it. But you know, there are people, there will be people, who when they come to the door are going to want something. Brian, I think, wasn't it Brian? Didn't you tell me about a man that you all met? And as soon as they heard that they were from church, the first thing out of his mouth, I believe he said, I'm looking for a church. Now, I don't know if he's saying that because they were there. I don't know. He didn't come today, but that's what he said. Well, you know what? He didn't come today. Somebody said, yeah, well, just pulling your leg. Sometime you're going to be an influence on somebody who's really going to want something that you can give them. So it's important, and it doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, what language they speak, what color their skin, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is we've got what the world needs, and they don't even know it. They don't even, that's why we have to tell them. That's why Brother Steve was talking this morning about somebody he talked to, knocked on a door and talked to him, and I'm probably going to mess this up, Steve, so you help me. But knocked on the door and asked the lady, or was it a lady? Man, you know you're going to heaven when you die? He said, well, that's personal. I've had him tell me it's none of your business. I mean, just flat out. But Steve gave the right answer. He said, yes, sir, it is personal. It's personal to me because I'm out here telling people about Jesus, and obviously you need him. Not in a condescending, nasty way, in a way that's right. Hey, that's the way it should. That's why I told that lady when she talked about baptism, man, that's not. I didn't say, why you low down heathen? You're going to bust hell wide open. I'm not going to do that. If I had done that, I wouldn't have got to see the house. But I said, ma'am, that's not the way. You know, nothing happened. You know, I would love to have been able to lead her to Jesus. It happened. But that's the goal. whether they're in Paul's case at this church at Rome, it was Jew or Gentile. Here in Columbia, it's whoever, whatever, however. Because you hear all kinds of, listen, when you're knocking on doors, you hear all kinds of stuff. Stuff that just make you scratch your head and wonder where in the world they get that. I tell you, the devil's working just as hard to confuse them as we are trying to win. And Paul knew something about that. These folks were confused about this thing about Abraham and the law. And of all things, just the act of circumcision. So confusing this church. Now, let's go on if we can. Let's go to verse 24. We'll finish out the chapter. Now we find the Gentile church's ministry to the Jews. See, now, in the beginning, it was the ministry to the Jew. But now, the biggest majority of Christians or believers in the world are Gentiles. And so it's incumbent upon us to try to win the Jews. You talk to any missionary to Jews anywhere and they'll tell you it's very difficult. Because even now, they're so steeped in their religions, in Judaism and the Torah and the synagogue and all, until, man, they don't even want to give you the time. We were passing out tracts on 6th Avenue or 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. I've had the folks that rejected me the most were Jews. Most of them were dressed in that sort of Jewish garb because not far from where I was on 7th Avenue was a Jewish neighborhood. Judy talked to a Jewish lady on the sidewalk one day. And, you know, they'll talk about their dog. They'll talk about their job. They'll talk about their kids. But as soon as you mention Jesus, when they're walking along, the tracts that Brother Richard had from his church had a picture of Jesus on the cross on the front of it. And so when they'd walk up, and I just kind of do like that, and when they saw what was on there, it was like if they had a car, they'd ran over me. Because they don't believe in that. They didn't want that. They don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. They don't believe he's the Messiah. They don't believe anything. They believe, but they believe enough in God to go to hell. Right. James said, if you believe in God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Guess where they're going? So you can believe enough in God to go to hell. You've got to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. So notice what the Bible said. We'll close out here tonight. Notice he said here in verse number 24. He said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. How about that? He was on his way to Spain. During those years, or in some place called Gaul, G-A-U-L, same place. He was literally on his way to the end of the continent. I mean, Paul wasn't afraid to go anywhere. He's on his way to Spain. I will come to you, he said, as I'm going through. Of course, going from the Middle East or the Mediterranean area, if he's headed to Spain, he's got to pass through Rome, or at least near Rome. And he said, and if I go, I'll try my best to come by there and see you. He said, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. He said, I'd like to stop fellowship with you a while. I'd love to stop and hear some testimonies about what God's doing there at the church. And I'd love to get out there and talk with some of you, your families. He said, I need that. Can you imagine traveling literally for years at a time and never being in the same place very long and just longing to stop somewhere long enough just to get refreshed? Missionaries, that's why they take furloughs, because they want to come back to America and get refreshed. Sometimes it's medical reasons. Sometimes just plain old exhaustion. They want to come home. And remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. Now, he wasn't born Roman. He was a Hebrew. But he was a Roman citizen. He knew something about the town. He knew something about the places there and places, good places to go and people to see. He said, I'd love to come there and just get your company and be refreshed on my way to Spain. But then notice verse 25. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. About that. Paul's desire to go to Spain, although the scripture confirm or doesn't confirm it. It does not say that he actually went. I believe he did. I believe he went. He said, that's where I'm going. I believe he did. Now, some folks may not, and some commentaries say that he did. Some say he didn't. There's no scripture that says yea or nay. And so I guess that's one of those things you can just kind of put in there for yourself. But here's what it said. He said, I go now to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor. Guess what? Here's a love offering. You know why we take love offerings? Because it's biblical. To help somebody. Paul said, I'm on my way to Spain. I want to stop in Rome, but before I do, got to go to Jerusalem. There are some poor saints there, and I think we ought to take a love offering and try to help them out. How about that? Yeah. Paul said, I've got me a love offering together here. He said, for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. Now, do not misunderstand here. Paul is not exhorting carnality. The word carnal simply means worldly. He's talking, and in this case, when dealing with poor folk, you're talking about food and clothing and shelter, necessary things. He uses the word carnal here, but he's not talking about carnality and spiritual carnality. He's just talking about supplying folks with things. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, I am all for always trying to help somebody with a need. You know, a lot of times these folks, you know, they don't have a need. They have a lust. They want a drink or they want some drugs or something. And I told you about that lady at the grocery store park. You know, when someone comes up and wants help, you can usually tell because of the way they sort of approach. This lady walked up to me and started just running off this, what I believe was a rehearsed speech. I mean, didn't miss a word, didn't miss a lick. The reason I know that is because after I said no, she went to the lady in the car beside me and the exact same speech. Started off exactly the same way. Every word was boom, 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 boom. Well, I don't know. I didn't help her. I didn't have any money anyway. I never do. But if I was going to, you know, then there's others who will come up, you know, and they'll say, you know, I'm sorry to bother you. I know that, listen, they can be just as fake and phony, I suppose. But I really believe the Spirit of God will help you know something like that. And, you know, I'm not talking about giving them $100, but you know, here's the thing. When they say they have a need, and I say, well, let's go in here and I'll buy you something to eat. They say, no, I'd rather have the money. Don't tell me you're hungry. And then when I offer to buy you something to eat, say, no, I'd rather have the money. Sounds to me like they're not looking for something to eat. They're looking for something to drink or something to take. Well, I don't do that. But I have a sandwich. I bought a Powerade or something. Somebody would say, man, sir, if you just, I just need something to drink out in this heat. I buy them a Powerade. They say, thank you. Drink it. And as a church, we need to help folks in that same way. And we have. And by the way, thank you for being a church that helps folks. I mean that. I'm telling you, there's not too many that do it anymore. But it's a Bible truth. Notice it says here in verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit. When I've gotten there and I've given the love offering out and everybody's satisfied. He said, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, when I get there, I'm going to be so full of God, we're going to have us a time. Isn't that the way it should be? Hey, when you get up on Sunday morning and you ought to pray and read the Word of God and come to church with the fullness of blessing, I'm looking for something good from heaven. And I'm telling you, it works. I've been guilty. My dogs, you know, I got two dogs, and when I get up, I always get 6 o'clock every morning without fail. Without fail. It's just an internal clock, I guess. I wake up, and boy, the dogs are ready to go out. And I'm sure they are after 8 hours or so, however long it's been. And so I get my clothes on, and I go down, take them out, and I feed them. Well, now all of a sudden, my mind is now thinking about the day. I told the Lord yesterday and this morning, and I'm going to start doing it, you know, they're just going to have to whoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and wait a few minutes. But when I get up in the morning, I'm going to get myself cleaned up where I can be awake. I'm going in the office. I'm going to shut the door and spend some time with the Lord. And if the Lord's pleased with it, He'll keep the dogs from messing up the carpets. And so far, these first 2 days, they haven't messed anything up. I mean, boy, they was ready when they got out there, but they didn't mess up the house, thank God. I believe God honors that. I surely do. And I think, and what it does, it gets you prepared for some things that God wants to do with you. God's impressed upon me to do something over the next while. And not just something for me, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's just something personal to me. And I'm going to do my best to do it every single day because I believe God's impressed me to do that. Because I think He wants me to have the fullness of blessing. And the only way, and you're not going to get fullness of blessing by saying, okay, I'll do it sometime. Get fullness of blessing by saying, okay, I'll do it today. I'll do it right now. I'll do it when you want me to, Lord, and then do it. Paul said, well, I took up this offering. I'm bringing it to you. But I'm coming with the fullness of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Pray for me. But folks, I want to beg you to pray for me. Please pray for me. Will you do that? Please pray for me. Pray that I'll do the right things and do it the right way. Buddy, I'll tell you, I want to. I believe God wants me to. But I need your prayers as much as I need my own prayers. And so I'm like Paul. I want you to pray for me. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And that my service, which I have for Jerusalem,
may be accepted of the saints. I mean, he knew if he went down there, he was going to get in trouble. He knew them Jews were going to be after him. Those Pharisees were going to be after him. Because to them, he's a traitor. You know, those Pharisees in Jerusalem, Paul was one of them at one time. Now he's the total out. Now he's, before he would kill Christians and build up the synagogue, now he's stealing folks out of the synagogue by getting them saved. Boy, they would have loved to have gotten their hands on Paul and killed him if they could. He said, you pray for me because I'm coming through. He said, I want to be delivered. I want to be safe. He said, I want to be accepted of the saints. You know, isn't it sad when you have to wonder if even God's own people are going to accept you or not? Say they're saved, yet for some reason they don't seem to accept you like they should. I believe with my heart, if you meet another Christian that's really born again, your spirits will bear witness and you'll accept them, who they are and what they are. And then notice the last couple of verses, we'll be done. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Oh, I come to church, get refreshed. Too. I come to get refreshed. And you say, well, preacher, you're the one that's doing all the talking all the time. But I'm telling you, when God gives it to me, I get it before I give it to you, and so He's giving it to me. And so I get a little refreshment. Then I want to share the refreshment with you. I hope you get it, and I hope you'll receive it. And I hope you'll enjoy it. Verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This chapter emphasizes the importance of first distinguishing between Jews, Gentiles, and the church. Remember, in the Bible, Israel is not a type of the church. Do not somehow spiritualize the Old Testament as though God is dealing with... God dealt with Israel specifically. Israel is not the church. Gentiles, the Jews are God's people. They're not His only people. Because now the gospel has been given to us, that other sheepfold. And so we need to distinguish that. But we need to understand that everybody needs Jesus Christ. Everybody. There's not a person on this planet, unless they're already saved, that doesn't need Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. And I sure thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to open up the Word of God and finish out chapter 15. And Lord, if you'll help us in the next week or two, I'm sure, by the end of June, we'll be done with the book of Romans. Lord, I sure have enjoyed taking a stroll down the Romans road. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that speaks. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God that leads and directs and operates and guides. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that saves and satisfies. So tonight, Lord, as we go from here, may we understand that it does not matter who they are, where they've come from. Doesn't matter their class, their race, their religion, their anything. The only thing that matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So, Lord, all of us will have opportunity to hand out tracts. All of us may have an opportunity to actually give a verbal witness. Help us to be available to do that. I'm looking forward to that, Lord, in my own life. And so I pray that you'll help us in these days to honor you. Lord, thank you for a good Father's Day. Lord, I hope we've honored you as our Heavenly Father, as you deserve. So now, Lord, bless the moment of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name.